Welcome to episode 365 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. 365.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts. Like, I mean, it's obviously a ton of episodes. And, you know, the weird thing was, when we hit episode 360, I don't think that number stuck out as much to me as 365 does. And I feel like 365 only sticks out to me because of Office 365. But Office 365 is boring. And 360 was the Xbox 360, which is way cooler.
Right. Right. And I think of it as, if you listen to an episode a day, you could get a whole year of Entertainment 2.0.
Oh, man. That would be a really cool idea, but those first few episodes, I mean, that's true of pretty much every podcast, though, right? But
yeah, man, pretty much.
That would be interesting to go back and listen to a few episodes of this show, because that would be, you know, it started in 2009. 2009.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when, like, Media Center was really a thing, you know, when more than just you and I and our listeners used it.
Those were the days of, this is going to be really big one day.
Right.
Someday we'll get digital tuners and it'll be awesome. It'll change everything.
Little did we know that later that year, when Windows 7 released, that would be the last version of Windows Media Center to really receive any updates.
Oh, thanks for putting that tint on tonight's episode. Let's get started with some feedback, why don't we?
That sounds like a really good idea. We got we've got a follow-up from last week, but we also have a new one this week. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can email us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com.
All right, so I want to follow up on the message we received about someone who is interested in trying to keep only his favorite photos on the phone. And I wanted to do a little bit of research on this, because I thought, oh, come on, with stuff like IFTTT or some sync programs, there has to be an easy way to do this. Well, I don't have anything good to report. I did a little bit of research, and I found that IFTTT, while it does support OneDrive, there are no OneDrive triggers, only commands. So that means you can do stuff to your OneDrive content, but you can never actually cause something to occur because of an event or a change in OneDrive. So that's out of the picture.
Hmm. Okay.
And then I looked into whether there were some sync apps that could be used. And as I think you've mentioned in the past, synchronizing with Windows Phone in Windows 10 is a little bit of a different animal. It's not actually a sync. You just connect your device and all the stuff on it kind of shows up in Explorer in the appropriate places.
Right.
And I don't know that that's all that terribly useful, because that just means you'd have to manually move stuff around. Now, I do understand that there is a Windows Phone Sync app for Windows 8, if that is still a platform that he's using, 8 or 8.1. But again, I think it's a manual effort. I think you have to go into the apps and sync things. And from what I could tell, deleting from the devices was not one of the things that it could do. Oh, there was something else that I found. Even if you saved all of your pictures from your camera roll up on the OneDrive, like with the automatic upload, OneDrive, as you thought, has no concept of what's a favorite. None at all. So I came up with nothing, but I at least wanted to follow up.
Yeah. And apparently none of the other listeners came up with anything either, because we didn't get any other feedback from anybody else with some suggestions. So sorry, I don't think there's a good solution to this unless someone wants to write an app for this. Unless there is one in the Windows Phone store, but I'm betting that there isn't, or else he probably would have found it already.
Yeah, I looked and I didn't see anything, but I might not have been looking for the right keywords.
It would probably be hard to find that specific feature, so that's tough. All right, we did get one more email this week, and this was from PJ, and he's a frequent emailer of the show. He says, "Hey guys, enjoying the podcast. For the few of us left on Windows Phone / mobile, there are quite a few Windows mobile devices slated for release later this year. After owning Lumias for quite a long time, I'm struggling on whether to wait for the next Lumia from Microsoft or purchase a non-Lumia Windows Phone device. What's your input? I'm interested in the Koship Mali, the phones from Acer or Xiaomi, HP, etc. What kind of support will we get from these manufacturers? Thanks in advance." So this is kind of a tough question. So he did list a bunch of third-party manufacturers that are releasing phones. Some of these are already available, like that Koship Mali. I think you can already get that on Amazon. The Acer Liquid Jade Primo, I believe, is already out on T-Mobile. The Xiaomi phones, I'm not sure about, and I don't know that you can get those in the U.S. The HP phone, which looks the most interesting out of all of these, isn't slated to be out until this summer, but we're not sure if you're even going to be able to buy it at retail. So the main problem that I see with most of these is the best phone you might not be able to get, and the rest of them are all, at best, mid-range phones. Like, none of these are going to replace, say, a 1520 or a 930 or an Icon. I mean, they're going to have the newer OS pre-installed, but they're probably not actually going to be better phones. They're not going to
even
have,
the HP,
except for the HP, but you won't be able to buy that most likely. So I guess my thought is, if you really want to get a new Windows phone and you don't really want to wait to see what might be announced and what may not come out until the end of the year, or maybe early next year from Microsoft, then you might just want to go and pick up a 950. You can probably get them for a little bit cheaper now, and especially if you went for the used market. I bet you could get a pretty good price on a 950 or a 950 XL right now. But I don't know why. Like, I really don't know why you would want to. And maybe I'm just really down on Windows Phone lately. I'm definitely down on Windows Phone lately. I'm getting really frustrated with it. But I look at my 1520 and I look at the 950 and I don't really see much that the 950 would give me that I don't already have on the 1520, unless you really want Continuum. And I don't need Continuum. I don't think most of our listeners actually probably have that much use for Continuum. So I would wait. I would wait, or maybe look for a 950. But who knows how long you're going to be waiting for a phone from Microsoft. In terms of support, I guess when we're talking support for a phone, we're generally talking about getting OS updates and things like that. You might get OS updates. I wonder how much that really matters, because you're just going to go Windows Insider anyway and just get the updates that way. You know, it's not like you have to go Insider Fast Ring and be getting latest unstable bits. You can go with the Windows Insider program and get release builds, or at least slowering builds, and be relatively more stable that way. So I'm not sure that that's as much of a concern. And, you know, there used to be a lot of big software advantages to going with Lumia phones, because they used to come with things like Here Maps and things like that, which are going away anyway. So I'm not even sure that any of those are reasons not to go with a third-party device. I really think the only big reason not to go with a non-Lumia, and Lumia is kind of a weird word there, because we may not see any more Lumia phones. They may get rebranded as Surface or something else. But the only reason not to go with some of these other third-party phones is just that most of them are low to mid-range phones. And I would also bet that most of our listeners aren't looking for low-end phones. They're probably, you know, they're tech enthusiasts. They want the good stuff. So they probably don't want a Snapdragon 400 processor or whatever's in a lot of these much lower-end phones.
Okay, Eeyore, I'm going to say one thing to kind of pep this up a little bit. I love that HP phone. And if there's anything that has me interested in Windows Phone right now, it is that HP phone. I know we don't know about how it will be available or if it will be available at retail, but I think it's probably something that you're going to be able to maybe get online or something. And if that's the case, I love that device. I think it's really cool. My concern is mostly about not so much what does the manufacturer do, but what does Microsoft do? Does Microsoft care about these devices when they come up with their next version of whatever it is that they're doing for the phone? Because every single time they've done that, they have left most of the third-party devices in the wind.
That's true. If you look at the Windows Mobile 10, Windows 10 Mobile Redstone builds, there's only, I think, two third-party phones that were able to get that update. The Xiaomi Mi Phone 4, I don't remember the model name, and I think one from Alcatel or something like that. I think a couple of the blue phones, but like nothing else. So that, yeah, that is a really good point. And maybe that's really more what PJ is talking about when it comes to support. So, all right. I guess, we move on and hopefully we find some better news in the news.
Well, I think we can start off with some better news right away. And I don't know if this happened since we last spoke or if we missed it last time, but there's a new version of Power DVD out and it looks pretty awesome, actually. Now, for those who don't remember, Power DVD is one of two packages that allows you to play high definition video, Blu-ray discs and things like that on your home theater PC, on any PC. And the new version, Power DVD 16, does exactly that, but it adds a whole lot more support, including support for 4K, which also is going to support 4K Blu-ray if we ever get such drives available for PCs.
So we have software to support it before we even have the hardware.
How crazy is that?
That's kind of nuts.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I think that's a really nice thing. It will also play other 4K video files. So that's good. As before, the main version, the Ultra version, is about $100, which is pretty much what these packages have always cost. You may remember the Total Media Theater each time was about $100. I don't know if there's going to be some upgrade pricing, but usually there is with that. And the other neat thing about this is that this, instead of relying on plugins for Media Center or Boxy or anything else, actually has its own TV mode. It has its own lean back experience. So you can use the app on your phone as a remote control for that. I don't know if it would also work with IR on your PC, like a regular remote control. But the idea is that you could have a full lean back experience right in this app itself, which is good if you're running on a newer PC that maybe doesn't have Media Center.
Yeah, like a Windows 10 PC, for example.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that's interesting is that they're adding TV streaming to this. And as I understand it, they're going to be supporting different tuners to enable this, if I understand this right. But I also don't quite get the pricing, because I see that there's a monthly cost or a monthly service available that includes the TV service. So maybe it's not actually with a local antenna. Maybe it's some sort of streaming over the internet thing.
Hmm.
That is not clear. But there's an article, kind of like an introductory article about the product on CNET, and we'll have a link to that. not a ton of information in there, but this is one of the only products available now that will allow you to play Blu-ray discs if that's still something that you want to do. So good to see that they're keeping it up to date.
Yeah, definitely, since it's the only one left.
Well, again, we forget that the desktop version of VLC can play Blu-ray discs and does all of this stuff, but typically not such a great lean back experience with that.
Well, and only plays them if they're decrypted or you're using, like, now I'm forgetting the name of that. It used to be SlySoft.
Any DVD?
Any DVD, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, so another story under video is just a quick note that this week, that means the week that this show comes out, and this week only, the folks over at My Movies are making their Android and iOS apps, which normally cost $8 or $7.99 a piece in the US, available for half price. So you can now get either the iOS app or the Android app for $3.99 in their respective stores. So if that's something you've been thinking about, half price off is a, you know, pretty good deal.
Yeah, definitely. More great news.
There you go.
All right, so here's some good news on the Windows 10 front. That app that you just mentioned, VLC, as being, you know, I mean, everybody knows VLC. It's the standard bearer for watching any video imaginable on your PC. But the desktop experience has always been pretty ugly, but functional. Well, they have Windows apps. They have a Windows Phone app. They have a Windows 8 app, all in the store, and they work fairly well. Well, they've announced today that they're releasing a UWP, a Universal Windows Platform app. That means a Windows 10 app. And because it's actually UWP, they're doing this the right way, which means it's going to be the same app on Windows 10 PCs and tablets and on Windows phones and on the Xbox and on Windows 10 IoT devices.
What?
And HoloLens.
What?
If they could get their hands on one.
Oh, they can get their hands on one. It's just going to cost them $3,000.
Well, they actually probably can't if they're not in the US or Canada. But yeah, so that's kind of a problem. But so this is coming actually very soon. So if you want this on Windows 10 mobile, you're going to need a phone that has Redstone on it because there were limitations with the background audio APIs and some driver issues on phones that never got the Redstone update. So you're going to need Redstone version of Windows 10 mobile. And they're going to do a public beta of that version of the app next week. Like, remember way back when the VLC guys did a Kickstarter to fund the Windows 8 version of the app?
Yeah, and it took like 6 months.
I think it was longer than that. We were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, this time around, they decided not to announce anything until they were pretty much done. So Windows 10 mobile public beta next week with an official release in early May. So this is all happening really, really quickly. On the Windows 10 desktop side, they're not going to do a public beta. They're going to do a closed beta in early May with an official release in mid-May. So that's not very much time between the beta and the release. And then for the Xbox version, we talked just a few weeks ago after build, you know, right now you can take the Xbox One that's in your house and put it in developer mode and send apps over to it. You're going to be able to pull down the source code for this app, compile it, and deploy it to your Xbox One if you want. Now, if this sounds awesome, and you didn't listen to our post-build episode, go back and listen to that because you probably don't actually want to do that with your Xbox One because there's lots of risk in doing that. But if you're a developer and you're doing this sort of stuff anyway, then cool, check this out because there is your lean-back VLC experience in your living room right there. Now, of course, if you're not doing developer stuff on your Xbox One, this won't be available until the anniversary update gets released on the Xbox One. So that's this summer. They did mention Windows 10 IoT Core, but they don't have a date on it. But the idea there is that you could run VLC on your Raspberry Pi, which is kind of a neat idea. Nothing like running, you know, turning a $35 computer into your video player. And then then the next question is, well, what about the Windows 8.1 app that they released on Windows 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1, and Windows RT? They're all going to get one more update. It's going to come in May, and then they're dropping support. Like, they're not going to support those apps anymore. It's UWP all the way going forward from here. That kind of makes sense. It stinks if you're stuck in Windows 8.1 land, but that app is probably stable enough for you. But if you were hoping for some more features, you're probably not going to get many new features on the Windows 8.1 version of the apps. Now, they're not just straight up porting this to UWP. They're also adding some new features with this app. They're going to do some UI enhancements to make it look more at home with other Windows 10 apps. They're also going to add support for the light and dark theme stuff, support for the Windows 10 accent colors, things like that. They're also going to be building in support for Continuum, so you can plug your phone into a Continuum dock and get that full experience. They're doing some experimental Cortana support for searching through your library and stuff. That could be kind of neat. Here's an interesting one. Chromecast support from a Windows UWP app. I'm not sure that I've ever seen that before.
I was just going to say, is that a first?
It might be. It probably isn't. There's probably some little known app that no one's ever heard of that supports it. But in terms of big, well-known apps, this is probably going to be the first.
Cool.
And then here's another interesting note. In their blog post announcement of this, they said that they're trying to convince Microsoft to whitelist the DVD-related APIs that are there in Windows 10, apparently. They're saying it's technically possible, but Microsoft isn't letting people use them. So if they can convince Microsoft to do it, then the UWP version of VLC would also be able to play DVDs, which would be kind of cool.
Interesting. So technically, that means that Windows already contains the ability to play DVD content. It's just that you have to buy their app to kind of unleash that, since those APIs aren't open.
Right. And I think that's mostly due to licensing restrictions.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Cool. So one other video related piece of news here, and that is that Microsoft Edge, everyone's favorite web browser, right? Right? Maybe? Maybe not. Okay. Microsoft Edge is now supporting WebM. WebM is a somewhat open standard, primarily put forward by Google for video and audio. It uses VP9 for the video codec and Opus as the audio codec. These are high end. You know, they support 4K video, high frame rates. You know, these are good codecs. Chrome has, of course, supported them for a while since they're developed by Google. Edge decided to also bring in support for these because why not? Microsoft likes to support open standards, so they're doing this. What sites use this? Well, a little site like YouTube that uses these codecs. So
do they really?
Yeah. Apparently, if your browser supports it, I don't know if maybe you have to do something special to get it to use that, but apparently YouTube does use these. Maybe it only does it on the like 4K videos. I'm not sure. If you're not interested in VP9, Opus, and WebM, just a reminder, Edge already supports 4K video through H.265 and HEVC on the video side. Plus, it already has support for Dolby multi-channel audio. So Microsoft Edge, kind of looking like an awesome browser for streaming, you know, maybe you call this next generation video content. So that's kind of cool. And this isn't like something that's coming in the future. This is available now if you have, if you're in one of the Windows Insider preview builds. It's not enabled by default. You're going to have to go to about:flags. Just put that in the URL bar, hit enter, and it'll take you to a little known little configuration page for enabling and disabling more advanced features. And in the preview builds, There'll be WebM support in that page to turn on. We'll have a link to this article, of course, which has lots of other information about what this support means. And it also talks about the potential impact on battery life if you don't have hardware decoding for WebM, which a lot of people probably don't yet because it's pretty new and is not, it's new. So while it is technically a standard, a lot of the newer stuff or older stuff doesn't have support for decoding it on the hardware side just yet. So anyway, nice to see Edge adding support for another standard in video playback.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they also announced that they're auto-pausing any Flash content that gets rendered in the Edge browser now, which I think in today's day and age is a good thing. And that could also impact content and particularly video content being delivered to you through your Edge browser.
Yeah. Yep. That's also good news. Yay for the death of Flash.
Ah, Microsoft Edge, the awesome browser that nobody's going to care about.
Aw. I use it every day.
Yep. I don't.
All right, so let's move on to some audio news. Sonos. This is kind of where the news goes downhill. Sonos has officially decided they are not going to release a Windows 10 or Windows 8 or Windows Phone 8 or anything like that app. Not happening.
Yeah. I'm really disappointed by this. I understand why they and other companies may decide this. I think this has more to do with Sonos trying to figure out how to find itself in a world suddenly dominated by Amazon Echo than anything else.
Yeah.
I think all resources and attention are going to figuring out that space, and then they'll reexamine how they provide control options to users.
I definitely think that's part of it, because I definitely feel like Sonos is completely overreacting to the success of the Echo.
Yeah, I agree completely.
But they ended this statement on their official community site by saying that they're going to focus on voice and paid streaming apps. Sure, but I think really what they were saying was we have to choose where to focus our energies. And when it comes to mobile platforms, Windows Phone just isn't worth us supporting. Now, the thing that's really frustrating to me on that front is more than rumors. People had a functioning app written by Sonos. They had access to it. Windows Phone Central had this app. Other people had this app. We know that it existed. We know that it worked. They just never released it. And they're never going to release it. And I can still understand why. I mean, maybe it's done and that's cool. But if they release it, then that really means that they also need to support it. And if they've decided that it's just not worth the effort, then there's no reason for them to release an app, even if it is functional now, because in 6 months they'll release some new feature, like maybe some voice related feature that they're not going to want to build into the Windows Phone app for 1.1% market share.
Yeah, I would love to have this conversation at some time when we don't have as full a lineup as we do tonight, but I feel as if this is yet another company that, in spite of everything that's going on within their company right now and figuring out what their focus is just tired of chasing after Microsoft's ever-changing mobile platform strategy.
I can see that. I tend to think it's more about market share numbers, but I could see your point. But you're right, we probably don't have time to get into that conversation, so maybe in a future show. So while that stinks that you're not going to get an official Sonos app ever for your Windows devices, just to be clear, there's still the Sonos desktop app. That's still there. It's not going away. They're going to keep supporting that. We're just talking UWP apps here. Not happening. There is, however, a third-party app called Phonos, Phonos, that's been around on Windows Phone 8.1 for a while. They've announced that they've got a UWP app in the works that's actually available in preview now. So you can go and download this on your Windows 10 PCs and phones. It's an early preview. It's missing tons of features. It doesn't have group editing, device volume control. That seems like kind of a big deal. I would want to be able to turn my speakers up and down. Doesn't do shuffle and repeat. Doesn't do search. There's other things it doesn't do. So it is super, super early. This is not going to be your new replacement go-to app. But if you want to go and get it and then give them some feedback, I'm sure that would be greatly appreciated. And frankly, it's your only option if you want to do Sonos on your Windows devices.
And part of the reason for those features not being there could very well be that integrating with Sonos is not easy. And here is where I go into a little mini rant. If Sonos is deciding that they are going to stop supporting different platforms and they're not going to build apps and they're not going to target different devices, then they need to make their API accessible to developers who actually want to fill that niche. And that's something that Sonos has continually ignored.
Yep. I can't argue with anything there. So you're absolutely right. But let's move on in the interest of getting through the show in less than 4.5 hours. So one more audio story. Microsoft Groove is now truly universal across all Windows 10 devices. I didn't know this, but up until now, Microsoft Groove was not a normal UWP where it was one app that worked on both Windows Phone and Windows 10. But it is now. And here's the really good thing. The Windows 10 mobile version of this app has had features in it that the Windows 10 desktop app did not have. And it sounds like they used the phone version as the basis for making this truly universal app, because now the PC app finally gets gapless playback, which we've had on Windows 10 mobile for at least a few weeks, if not a few months at this point. So that's nice to see on the Windows 10 desktop side. Like that VLC app that we mentioned earlier, the fact that it's a universal app is not the only thing that's new here. There's some other new features and bug fixes, lots and lots of bug fixes, which is good. We're not going to go into them in detail here. We've got a link in the show notes if you want to find out what all of those different bug fixes are. And you'll want to head out and get this if you're a Groove user at all, for sure. So, Richard, let's move on to your favorite topic. Games.
Woohoo!
Not a lot here, but let's start off with some free stuff. And it's not the normal free stuff. It's betas. April is apparently the month of betas on the Xbox One. I wanted to do this last week, but we didn't have a show last week. So unfortunately, last weekend, if you didn't already know, you missed out on two open betas that ran last weekend. One for the new Doom game and one for Battleborn. They've already come and gone, sorry. But there's still more open game betas coming. Maybe the biggest one, Gears of War 4, is going to be an early access beta that starts April 18th and runs through the 24th. To get into the early access one, you would have had to have played Gears of War Ultimate Edition prior to, I believe the date was April 9th. And then if you can't get into the early access one, don't worry. There's an open beta for Gears of War 4 also that starts April 25th and goes through May 1st. So I'm sure lots of people will be jumping on the Gears of War 4. Again, that's just a multiplayer beta. You're not going to get to beta the single player campaign or anything like that. But that should be a lot of fun if you're into the Gears of War games. They also announced a closed beta for Mirror's Edge Catalyst. That game comes out at the end of May. They're doing a closed beta April 22nd through the 26th. You can register for this and maybe you'll get in, but you don't really know. That such is life with closed betas. But a lot of times with these closed betas, in like the last day or two, they'll open it up to everybody on Xbox Live. So if you're interested in Mirror's Edge, keep an eye out on, the gaming websites and Reddit and things like that that weekend to see if maybe you can get in if you didn't already pre-register in hopes of getting in. And then the other big shooter that's coming out this spring is Overwatch. They're going to be doing an early access beta May 3rd and 4th, which is only 2 days. So you're not missing out much if you're not in on the early access part of that. And then an open beta May 5th through the 9th. If you don't know what Overwatch is, you should probably check it out. It looks a lot like maybe Team Fortress 2, but with even more classes. Looks like a really fun first-person shooter. So check that out. I'm sure I will be checking it out that weekend, assuming I'm home and can. So, and there's, we've got a link to this in the show notes. Because there are so many open betas, Major Nelson posted an article on his blog. We've got a link to it in the show notes. He's going to continue to update that specific post as more and more betas become available or more and more information becomes available about them. So you'll definitely want to keep an eye on that because everyone likes playing games for free. Speaking of free, Games with Gold, it's the second half of April now. This is always super confusing. That means The Wolf Among Us is still free on Xbox One and newly free is Sunset Overdrive. You should definitely get that game. That game, I only ever heard great things about it. I never played it when it originally came out. I'm definitely going to get it now. I'm hearing nothing but good things from people on Reddit and friends personally who are playing it for the first time now. Definitely check that out on the Xbox One side. And on the Xbox 360 side, Saints Row 4 is available now through the end of April for free. And again, backwards compatibility on that game, so you can play all of those on your Xbox One. That's all the free stuff. If you're looking for deals, the last time we had a show, we talked about how miserable the deals with Gold were that week. Not so bad this week, but you're going to have to spend a little bit more money. So Destiny, the Taken King Legendary Edition. This is the one you want. Like if you don't have Destiny this and you want to play Destiny, this is the version you want. Destiny is kind of confusing because there's like a few different versions because of the expansions and stuff. This is Destiny plus all of the expansions, including the most recent one, The Taken King. It's $36. I think it's normally like $60 or something. So a pretty decent deal there, and it's all digital. Cool. The other deal worth pointing out, Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition. This is it's an action role-playing game in the Dungeons & Dragons universe. If you're into that sort of thing, this game looks pretty cool, and it's on massive discount also available right now this week for Gold subscribers for only $24. So if you're looking for a new RPG to play, you might want to check out Divinity Original Sin for a steal of a deal.
A steal of a deal. Very cool. I did download Sunset Overdrive. I still have to get the 360 game.
It's hilarious to me that you get these.
Yeah, well, you know, one day I might have nothing to do.
Solus Suite has corrected me that Divinity Original Sin is not a D&D game. It's not a D&D game. I've just seen it compared more along the lines of some tabletop D&D games. I don't know. I haven't actually played it, and I don't get into fantasy RPGs as much as a lot of other people. So sorry if I'm wrecking that description. Solus Suite probably knows a lot more about this game than I do. But it is one that I had my mind on, or my eye on. Because occasionally I will check out a fantasy RPG, but probably not. Maybe if this goes super cheap or ends up on Games with Gold someday, then I'll check it out. All right. We kind of covered all of our mobile stuff for the last 2 weeks since we didn't do a show last week. There's not really been a whole lot of news other than what we've already discussed through the other topics here. So, Richard, it's been a couple weeks. You've had a really up and down year in your entertainment center. What's going on with your Drobo and your Media Center PC and all of that stuff?
It's been about 2 weeks, and I took some time off from work because this past weekend was my let's call it extended birthday weekend.
You sound like my wife. I always joke that she doesn't have a birthday, she has a birth week.
Yeah, I know people that do that. So I ended up spending some more time working on my Drobo, bringing it up to date. I went through the 12 steps of recovery for my Drobo, and it didn't seem to recover, so I got back to Drobo support. They said try something else, and I got back to Drobo support again, and they said now try this something else. And I said, okay, that seems to have worked. And they said, nope, wait a couple more days. It's still recovering. And then I sent a new login a couple days later, and they said, nope, wait a couple days. It's still recovering. So tomorrow is when I'm supposed to send the next login, and they'll let me know if it's all good to use now. But it's looking very positive.
Does it normally take days and days and days to recover?
We are talking about 10 terabytes of information that it has to kind of move around and recover from multiple places and piece together and then figure out how to distribute. So I am willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. Adding just one new disk into the system usually takes about 24 hours for everything to kind of settle out.
Okay. I guess in the end, if it works, it was worth waiting a week.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what's going on with my Drobo. Now, meanwhile, I had mentioned that I was having problems with my frame rate, where Media Center was acting really, really strange. Anytime that I kind of left it and then came back, Media Center itself, the interface, would get all choppy, and then video would play back weird. Well, I don't know why, but when I turned off the Media Center Photos screensaver, the built-in photo screensaver in Media Center, the problem went away. Makes no sense to me, but I'm going to go with it. I can live without seeing photos.
Yeah, it's such a great screensaver, but it's not worth a miserable experience to keep that around.
Yeah, I would actually have to exit out of Media Center and then restart it to make it usable. Yeah. So that's not worthwhile. So that fixed that. So that's good. I was also having, I would say, signal issues with my keyboard. I have the same keyboard you have. I can never remember how to pronounce it. Is it Kavi or something like that?
I don't think we have the same keyboard then. I thought mine was called the Re.
The Re. Oh, well then we don't have the same keyboard. Okay, I thought we did. Anyway, it's a little keyboard, has a little touchpad in it. It's Bluetooth. And I was having all kinds of problems. So I would have to be like standing right next to the entertainment center to get it to work. And all I had to do was get one of those stupid little $7 USB dongles with a little USB tether cable, lay it out on the shelf, and now I get perfect signal so that I can use it from my sofa. Of course, from my sofa, I can't read anything on my 1080p screen.
Right.
But that's a different issue.
You know, I actually do the same thing. My Media Center PC is tucked behind the entertainment center. And so I have like a 3-foot USB cable going out to a little tiny mini USB hub, and the dongle is plugged into that hub. And it's like the hub is kind of hidden in between like my Nintendo Wii and some books or something like that. So it's not really noticeable, but it certainly solves the problem.
Yeah, that helped a lot. I don't know why I didn't think of that before. And then finally this weekend, from a hardware perspective, I also switched over to the Harmony Elite. Now, I remember talking about buying this. This is essentially the successor to the Harmony Ultimate Home. And this product fixes the horrible, horrible problem that the Ultimate remotes had by having the main shuttle controls at the top of the remote above the touchscreen.
Oh.
Meaning that the buttons that you used more than anything else on the remote were the farthest reach. So this fixes that, puts them back down under the screen where they should be, and now I am constantly reaching over the screen trying to find buttons that aren't there. But eventually I'll get used to it, I suppose.
Yeah, probably.
This is one of those things where if I had more time, I would want to write a post about switching from the Ultimate to the Elite, what's good, what's bad, because there's a little bit of both. And hopefully sometime I'll be able to do that. All right. I watched a lot of television over the last 2 weeks. Holy crap, a lot of television. So, going to go through this quickly. Caught up on The Regulars, New Girl, Big Bang Theory, Arrow, and The Flash. Remember we talked about me wanting to watch the Supergirl crossover episode, and I said I hadn't caught up on Supergirl because I didn't know if I was going to watch it, and I still don't. So I just watched the crossover episode, and it was fun. I'm glad I did.
So you like skipped a bunch of Supergirl episodes and then watched the crossover one?
I did, and we're never going to talk about that again.
Yeah, that just goes against your personality.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait. Now, are you twitching? I wish we had video.
I also finished season one of Justified, keeping up with the folks over on Cord Killers that are talking about that each week. And Downton Abbey wrapped up its run forever and watched the finale of that finally. That was a couple of weeks ago, actually, but I was traveling and I didn't have a chance to see it. So that was kind of nice, kind of a satisfying conclusion on that. I started the new seasons of Banshee, which I love, but man, that is a violent show.
Wait.
Terribly, terribly violent show.
What is this? I've never even heard of Banshee.
This is I'll use the word violent, kind of cops and robbers show that twists all kinds of morals and perspective, and it's on Cinemax.
Oh, that's
so
why.
Imagine a really good drama, like a police drama, on any cable channel that doesn't have to do any sort of what's the word? Censoring. And then remember that this one's on Cinemax.
Right.
And you probably have a good idea. And of course, Orphan Black started up and it looks like it's going to be a great season. So I hope people are watching that if they watched last year, because I think this year is going to be great. Had a very interesting start to the fourth season. Didn't know what the heck was going on, but it was very, very clever. I am finally nearing the end of Boston Legal. I have a 2-hour finale for the series to go, and then I'm finished with that. And as I've said before, I have loved that. I started catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I'm still pretty much behind on. And speaking of being behind, sure. I finally got back to watching the Star Wars films. You may remember I got stuck on 3, continually falling asleep during the movie, getting bored of Anakin whining and screaming and everything else. And I forced myself to watch it during the daytime so I wouldn't fall asleep, and then watched everything else in succession. 4, 5, 6. I really wanted to see how the prequels did in terms of driving the story into the original movies. They did a really good job, I think, except for some nuance around the story behind Leia. There's still some holes there that I think they forced to fit once they figured out how they were doing that, but whatever. And then after all that, it was like midnight on Sunday night. And I said, you know, I have 2 things that I can do right now. I can finish editing Home On, or I can watch The Force Awakens. And I'm sorry, folks, but I chose Star Wars. And oh my God, I'm glad I did, because it was
so
awesome.
You started it at midnight?
I did.
Wow.
I did. And then couldn't get to sleep for a while because I had such an adrenaline rush.
So you liked it?
I loved it. I loved it. I think they did a fantastic job and I can't wait for more. I think they did good service to the fans, to the storyline, to the characters. And I'm generally very satisfied.
The scene with Jar Jar Binks. No, I'm just kidding. Nope. This movie's
spoilers.
Been out for what? Almost 5 months now. I'm still not going to give any spoilers.
And do you know what's amazing is that I somehow managed to get as far as I did without any
I'm
major
shocked
spoilers.
By that.
Like, I didn't know. I knew that there was a big scene that got lots of people really upset. I didn't know what it was. I knew
it was
that
the Jar Jar
there was
Binks
a lot of, you know, I knew that there were a lot of reveals that people were talking about, but I didn't know what. And so I was so happy that I watched everything and it was still fresh, and I don't know how I managed to do that.
That is the most shocking thing that I've heard all week. How someone who lives on the internet like you could go 5 months without having Star Wars spoiled is just, it's mind-blowing to me. But
I have multiple episodes of podcasts that I had to pause and just leave in my listen queue from 3.5 months ago, because I didn't want to be spoiled, but I didn't want to get rid of them because I wanted to get back to them when I watched it. And I'm actually really glad that I did. The Cord Killers spoiler in time episode about The Force Awakens, I think, is a surprisingly good kind of fictional analysis of the story, like the kind of analysis you would do in English class after you read a book, and definitely worth a listen if you did not listen to that when it came out.
I'd have to go back and listen to that.
All right. So that was me. How about you?
I finished season 4 of House of Cards. I liked the whole season. Like I said, it wasn't the greatest, you know, it wasn't better than 1. It probably wasn't better than season 2, but it was way better than season 3. I understand why some people didn't like it as much. I haven't heard anybody who said that it was worse than season 3. So there's at least that. I liked it a lot. I definitely think that if you liked the first 2 seasons, and especially if you suffered through season 3, then you owe it to yourself to check out season 4. It's good. On the TV side, still, Jen and I started catching up on Quantico. That's back from its winter hiatus. So we're only 2 or 3 episodes behind Live now. So still really enjoy that show. Obviously, it's an ABC drama. So it is what ABC dramas are. But we enjoy it a lot. It's been good. That's it on the TV side. On the gaming side, I have not gotten to play as much as I would like, but the only thing that I have played when I've had time has been The Division. I finally made it through all of the main missions in that game. I'm almost to level 30. I liked it. I liked the story a lot. No spoilers there either. Planning to continue forward with that and playing the missions on hard mode and venturing off into the dark zone and all that stuff. I had lots and lots of fun. And if anybody's looking to play, add me on Xbox Live. It's RALYDSM. That's my gamer tag. Add me. And if you add me, send me a message, because I occasionally get people who are following me and I have no idea who you are. So if you're a podcast listener and you add me on Xbox Live, send me a message and so that we can talk and hang out and play. And then I don't normally bring up music, but one of my favorite bands from the last few years released a new album last week. That's the Lumineers. The new album is called Cleopatra. I love this album, and I love it more and more every single time I listen to it. If you're into the Lumineers at all, if you're into more folky kind of music, check it out for sure. It's really, really good. It's on Spotify. It's on everything. So go and check out the Lumineers. Cleopatra. But that's not all we have in terms of music, because Marcus is back this week with a Music Minute.
Hey everybody, this is Marcus with your Music Minute, and for this Music Minute I want to bring to your attention a little movie starring actor Don Cheadle. The movie is called Miles Ahead, and in it, Don plays the legendary jazz trumpeter Miles Davis. Now, there's a couple of things about this film in particular that are of interest to me. One, it's Don Cheadle. I'm a huge fan of his work, especially in the film Hotel Rwanda. And while I haven't had a chance to see Miles Ahead yet, I know he's capable of pulling out a show-stopping performance. I look forward to seeing his portrayal of Miles on screen, because Miles Davis is one of my favorite jazz players of all time. But the second thing, it kind of shows how small this world is, actually, because in the film, Don learns to play trumpet, like literally learns trumpet. He plays all of the notes in the film himself, and his trumpet teacher for that film is Fernando Pullum. Now, why is that name important for me? It's because Fernando Pullum was my high school music teacher back from 1991 to 1995. So I'm so happy to see that Mr. Pullum still plays music, still impacts the lives of others, and even lended his abilities for Don Cheadle's film. Mr. Pullum currently runs a performing arts school named after him, and I know for a fact that most of my life would not be the way it is now without his guidance and genuine care for all of the students that has ever come through his program. So, if you see miles ahead and enjoy the music coming out of Don Cheadle's trumpet, you can thank Mr. Pullum for that. So, I look forward to seeing this film. If you ever see the film, please let me know what you think. I would like to have a back and forth maybe about how this film portrays Miles Davis as far as his placement in history. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing it. So, that's basically my Music Minute. I just wanted to bring that film to your attention. So, this is Marcus Lyons, and that's the Music Minute. I will see you guys next time.
Dude, that is really cool that Marcus's high school music teacher coached an actor for the movie Miles Ahead. That's really, really cool. I didn't even know that this movie was coming out. I knew nothing about it before Marcus sent us this recording. Now I definitely want to see this movie. That's really, really awesome. And I love the way that like Marcus always finds a way to surprise me with these music minutes. And the way that he was able to combine music and movies on the show and bring in the personal connection, that's pretty awesome. Very cool. Thank you very much for that, Marcus. Looking forward to future music minutes. I always wonder how he's going to top himself, and he keeps doing it.
Yeah, I love that. I love his perspective on things. I'm also a big Don Cheadle fan, so this is something I'll be looking forward to seeing. And if you do not follow Marcus on Twitter, you absolutely should, because that enthusiasm and that cheery perspective that he brought in those 4 minutes is just a glimpse of his personality on Twitter. I highly encourage you to follow Marcus at Trombone for Hire on Twitter. Great, great account to follow.
Yeah, even if you don't care about music or games, you should follow Marcus just so that you can get some positive energy in your Twitter timeline. Because he's great. He's definitely refreshing when you're browsing through your Twitter feed. Okay, so that's it for what's going on in our entertainment centers. Richard, you've got some other stuff going on you'd like to announce.
Yeah, just two quick things. One is that I was on Pop Tech Radio again this past weekend. I was actually on the full last hour of the show and spoke a lot about different home automation stuff, but primarily about the Nest and Revolve news that's been going around and how that affects, or more accurately, doesn't affect most consumers. So if that's something you'd be interested in, check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. That's syndicated radio show Pop Tech Radio, but it's available as a podcast or for listening directly online. And the only other thing that I wanted to also say here is that it is extremely likely that the vast majority of you listening to this show right now are listening to this show on my friend Josh's birthday. So I encourage you to join me in wishing him a very happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. That is a very astute observation of yours. And we missed listening to this show on Richard's birthday. So you're all going to have to write this down for next year, because Richard's birthday is exactly 1 week prior to mine. His was on the 14th. So yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Richard.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, if you would like to get a hold of us, there's a ton of ways you can do that. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDMZ. We're on Google Plus. You can shoot us an email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or just use the contact form on the website. We've got Richard's other podcast for you to listen to. You don't just have to listen to Microsoft Entertainment Technology News. You can also listen to Home Automation News straight from Richard, this guy. Richard, what's going on with Home On?
So as I had anticipated, I was able to get the co-founder of Thington, Tom Coates, who is just a brilliant man in the IoT space. And in spite of a crazy busy first week of launch for their new product, managed to carve time out to talk with me about the new product and about where they're headed with it. So very interesting discussion, very long discussion, and I'm still working on the edit because I'm trying to get it under an hour. So should have that out by the time that this show is out, and that should be in your feeds. And then coming shortly after that is another company that I've spoken about in the past, Muzzly. And Muzzly is another one of these apps that is designed to essentially allow you to integrate all of your devices without having to buy new hardware. So we'll be talking with someone from Muzzly in the coming weeks.
Awesome. All right. Well, if you like any of our shows, the best way that you can show your appreciation for DMZ Podcast is to head out to iTunes and leave a rating or a review. If you do that, we'd really appreciate it. If you're not an iTunes guy, you can find our shows all over the place. We're on Pocket Cast, we're on Stitcher Radio, we're on TuneIn Radio, and Richard, we finally don't have to say maybe. Our shows are on Google Play. Finally.
Yeah, except that it isn't showing up in everybody's devices yet. It's still rolling out.
Okay, so we will be, just keep refreshing and it will show up. If you've got an Android device, it will show up there.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty impressed with what they have here. They have the ability to create playlists. They have the ability to search. Of course, their search directly tied in with Google search now. So they've done a lot of good stuff here for podcasts. And all I have to say is it's about time.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. All right, so then the other way that you can interact with us is do so in real time while we're recording this show. There's some people in the chat room tonight. You can come and do that. Typically Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Best way to know for sure, follow us on Twitter. We always tweet when this show is going to be recorded live. You can listen to us. You can interact with us. You can correct us when we make mistakes like I did about that game. And just contribute to the show. It's a lot of fun, and we hope to see you there next time. But that's going to do it for episode 365. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther, and we'll be back next time for episode 366. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.